Thank you for coming. To our friends that are here tonight, our guests, thank you for being here. All of you good home folks, good to see you. Amen. I also want to say thank you for the wonderful pastor appreciation last weekend. That was great. It was good. Amen. Now let me tell you, I did not get my jokes from cheapjokes.com. I stole them with pride over many, many years from other preachers and other sources. Amen. Some of them I might have made up. I don't know. Amen. It's been a long time. It's amazing what Holy Ghost inspiration will do. Amen. If you got a funny bone, it'll bring it out. If you don't have one, then I guess it won't. Amen. But there was a famous preacher by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, very well known past century, and he was known for his sense of humor, and he was criticized for it. People didn't think that the pulpit was a place for levity, and so they criticized Mr. Spurgeon because he at times would be a little funny, and they said, you don't need to do that, so much of that. He said, oh, if you only knew how much I held back. Amen. If you only knew how much I held back. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible said laughter doeth good like a medicine. I'd rather laugh than take medicine. I don't know about you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so laughing's good. Laughter's good. Amen. Because it brings out your happiness. It literally releases healing chemicals in your body when you laugh. Amen. And some people just need to laugh more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Anybody feel the Holy Ghost here tonight? We've had a great service already. We could go home right now and say we've had good church tonight. But I'm hoping that after you've heard us preach, you'll still say we had good church tonight. Amen. And you'll help me with this because I sure do need help. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Amen. Everybody say, God is a consuming fire.
Consuming fire.
God is a consuming fire. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I have seen thousands of pictures and photographs in my lifetime. I couldn't remember very many of them off the top of my head. But there was one photograph that I saw when I was very young that I have never forgotten, probably close to 50 years ago. But I never forgot that picture. It'll always be with me, I suppose. It was a picture of a Buddhist, perhaps, monk that was protesting some things. And he poured gasoline over his body, and then he took a match and lit himself. And he lay there in the street, literally burning to death. This man became a consuming fire. And somebody photographed that. And it appeared probably in Life magazine, most likely where I saw it. And I'll never forget that. I don't know what it's called. I don't know the picture. I tried to find it on the computer, but I couldn't find it. But it's I just call it the Burning Man. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. I want to preach about the Burning Man. I want to preach about the Burning Man. The first time that the word fire is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. The Bible said, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. The first time that the word fire is mentioned, I'm not saying it's the first time there was fire. I believe there was fire in the Garden of Eden. Amen. I do. I believe that Adam and Eve had fire. I believe they learned how to cook food. I believe that when Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to the Lord, they were able to offer them on fire. But the first time the word's mentioned, it's here, and the fire is the fire of judgment. Amen. I want us to remember, it's good to remember, never forget that there is a judgment. I know some people say, well, God is a God of love and mercy. He could never judge anybody. Amen. Don't say that tonight. Judgment's a good thing. Judgment's a good thing. Let me explain it to you tonight. If somebody ran into your car out in the parking lot and then waved and said, isn't grace wonderful? And drove off. You know what? You'd be wanting some justice. Amen. Somebody hurts your little darling. Amen. You want some justice, and rightly you should. Amen. Somebody does damage to your family or to your person or to your property. You want justice, and you should. Hey, I want you to know something about God tonight. He's not some kind of a cosmic sugar daddy that you can mold to your own making and fashion after your will. But He is a sovereign God that has promised that there is going to come a time of judgment, and you can't thumb your nose at God and spurn His law and always get away. Thank God there's a time of repentance and there's a place of forgiveness. But don't forget that God one day is going to bring the world to judgment. I'm telling you, you know this as well as I do tonight. There's some evil people in this world. There are some unspeakable, horrible things that happen in our world. And thank God for judgment. Amen. Thank God for judgment. Hey, thank God for mercy. I believe that if you do the crime, you serve the time. That may be old-fashioned. That's what Brother Martin's for. You can't reach him out here. Send him down there. He'll get them when they get in. Amen. Just because you get locked up, dear, doesn't mean you can't be forgiven. That's why we need churches in jails and we need churches in prisons. Amen. Hey, that's a captive audience. They can't get away. Brother Marshall used to tell us about young men that would get on the subway in New York City, and once the doors closed, they'd get to preaching, and then they'd crank it up, and they'd get it going hot and fast, because they had captives until the next stop. They couldn't get off till the doors come open, so they'd get them, and they'd give them all they had for just a little bit. Amen. They won people that way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But there is a fire of judgment. The next time we see fire, it's Abraham. God told him, I want you to take your son Isaac, go to the Mount Moriah, climb the mountain. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. I appreciate this about him. The Bible said that he went and got the wood, and he got the knife, and he got his son. And then the Bible said he got the fire. He took the fire with him. Amen. Now, hey, I know it's good when you get to church and you come in, you don't have any fire, but somebody else has got some. Somebody else has already got it cranked up. Somebody else already is worshiping. Somebody else is already praising. But let me tell you how to be better. Bring the fire with you. Amen. When you leave your house, make sure you bring some fire. Find your place and start talking to the Lord. Amen. If you kick the cat on the way out, repent before you walk through the door. Amen. Hey, we got prayer rooms, and that's what they're for. Come early. Find a place to pray and bring the fire of worship out into the auditorium when you come. Amen. Thank God there's still some fine worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody talked about a church. Said it's so cold they got icicles in the pew and a polar bear in the pulpit. Amen. That's not the kind of church I want to go to. I want to go to a church that's got some fire in the worship. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for musicians that have some fire when they play. I thank God for some service leaders and some worship leaders. They got some fire when they sing. Hallelujah. I thank God for some Sunday school teachers that when they teach Sunday school, they got anointing in their teaching. And I even thank God for a pastor and some preachers that get in this pulpit. And when you get ready to preach, you need to have some fire going on. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm of the opinion, the preacher expressed it. He said, I was born in the fire and the smoke just won't do. Amen. I don't want to be in a smoky church. I want to be in a fiery church. I want to be in a place where somebody can feel the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the fire. There's a fire of worship. And then there's a fire. When in the middle of a fire, God can call people. Amen. Anybody here called to the service of the Lord? Do you remember when it happened? Was it in service? Praise God. Was it in church somewhere? Was there some fire involved? Amen. I remember. You know when I got called, when I surrendered, I should say, or accepted or acknowledged or understood, got through my thick head that God wanted me to preach. Texas Bible College, 1971. Amen. Nacogdoches, Texas. We went on a choir trip. Can you believe I sang in the choir? Amen. I did. And we went to that service. I can't tell you who preached. I can't tell you what was saying, but I'll tell you what I'll never forget. After the service, I was down right in the front, right down here. Amen. Right about here. And they had one of those big old Leslie speakers right here. That's about that tall. Hooked up to the organ. It was cranked. It had some fire in it. Amen. And then all I remember, man, I started jumping. You got to understand, I'm twice the man I was. But I was jumping. Man, I was in the Holy Ghost. I was really getting with it. I was having the time. Amen. It's like Brother Brandon over there. I was jumping up, getting with it. I jumped up as high as I could jump. And when I got up about as high as I could, I fell flat on the floor. It felt like a pillow. I didn't feel a thing. I just laid there, talking in tongues, talking to God. And that was when he really spoke to me specifically about preaching the gospel. You know what, Brother Colton, when I came through and I opened my eyes, he won't believe this, but my feet were on top of that speaker. Amen. Now you see, no wonder you're preaching, your brain damaged. You might be right. Or maybe that's what it took for me to get some sense in my head. Amen. I wasn't running. I wanted to preach. I just didn't think God could ever use anybody like me. I didn't think I was smart enough. And some of you still don't think I am. And I didn't think I was good enough. I just didn't think I'd ever be able to do this. Amen. But God in His mercy sent the fire of calling into a service. And He spoke to my heart. Amen. Sitting on a platform in a youth service in McAllen, Texas, when the Lord just simply said, go to Venezuela. Amen. I said, yes, sir. Would you please talk to my wife about this? And he graciously did. And she graciously went. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Brother Bacon, it's a privilege to have a wife that'll leave everything. Amen. And go. When the Lord says go, she's just willing to do it. She's done it over and over again. Amen. I appreciate that. I tell you what, I value that. Praise the Lord. I mean, things were going good. She worked hard. She graduated from university. She had her degree. She had a good job. She was teaching. She was doing things she enjoyed. For the very first time, we had new furniture in our house. Amen. We were doing great. Now, it wasn't much of a house, but we had furniture in it. It wasn't any of that vintage stuff. You know what vintage is, right? Vintage is for smart people. We used to call it used. You can buy used stuff at a garage sale for 50 cents, but you can sell vintage stuff on Craigslist for $50. That's the difference in vintage and used. We had vintage furniture. Well, we didn't. It was just called used back then. Amen. And boy, we were doing great. And then the Lord said, go to Venezuela. And you know what? We sold furniture. Praise the Lord. Story of my life. Buy high, sell low. We blessed somebody. New furniture for half price. But you know what? God blessed us. Amen. We came home from Colombia after being in missions for nearly 10 years. $8,000 in debt. Didn't have any furniture. Didn't have anything. Amen. But you know what? I got a house now, and it's got furniture in it. At one time, it was new. Amen. It was new years ago. Praise the Lord. But I'm very thankful. I'm just saying, if you'll be faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has set a debt, supplied every need. What a great God we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. I told you before, he gave me a house, $750. That's pretty, and I'm talking about in today's dollars. Amen. Isn't that right, Sister McGee? She was with me. As a matter of fact, her cousin told us about it. We thought we was going to see a storage building. Well, it might have been a storage building. Somebody, it was a house to me. Amen. So maybe I'm living in a storage building. I don't know, but it's all right. Brother Neil and Brother Wesley's helped me add on to it. My goodness, it's a big old storage house now. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm just saying, if you'll listen to God, let the anointing of the Lord upon you. Amen. Obey His voice. You don't have to be afraid. God's going to take care of you. What if He calls me to some place? Go! What if I have to give up some stuff? Go! Amen. Cherie was telling some of her missionary stories to somebody today, and they were kind of marveled. You know what? You can have those kind of stories, but you got to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It comes at a price, but what a privilege. Amen. Bible college, they used to tell me, Brother Christian, you got more stories than anybody I ever knew. Yes, I do, because I just go. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I went out, but I didn't have any stories when I was young, except what I stole from other preachers and stuff. But now I got my own stories. I don't have to steal from anybody. Though I still do sometimes if it's a good story. Amen. Now, if I remember his name, I'll give him credit. I will give you that. But I read a lot, and I hear a lot, and I don't remember every source. Amen. But I'm just saying tonight, hey, it's a privilege serving God. Don't you be afraid to serve the Lord. Don't be afraid to step out when God says step out. Don't be afraid to obey the calling of the Lord. It'll be the greatest thing you've ever done in your life. Praise God. You'll enjoy the journey. Amen. You'll find grace. You'll find power. You'll find blessing. You'll find mercy. You'll find strength. You'll find provision. You'll see miracles. God will do great things. Don't be afraid to step out when the Lord calls you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a fire of cleansing. Isaiah was a prophet of God. He saw a vision of God. You read the book of Isaiah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 5. He's woeing everybody. Woe to Israel. Woe to Judah. Woe to everybody. Amen. He's just woeing everywhere he goes. He's really preaching. He's getting down on everybody. Comes to chapter 6. Sees a vision of God. And all of a sudden it's, woe is me. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. All of a sudden, God have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I am a man of unclean lips, dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. God sent an angel with a fire. Everybody say a fire. From the altar of heaven. And he touched his lips. Amen. And he cleansed him. And he said, now who's going to go? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. There's a fire of cleansing. Amen. Hey, if you feel like you're disqualified, repent. Pray through. Get clean. So God can use you. So God can bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a fire of cleansing. Amen. Everybody says, somebody said, well, I have a past. Every sinner, every saint has a past. Every saint has a past. And every sinner has a future in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's another fire for direction. There's a fire for direction. Amen. The Bible says that God put a fire in the cloud. And at night when that cloud began to move, he was telling Israel, it's time to move. Hallelujah. It directed them. It led them. It guided them in a desert. And only God knew where they were going. Hallelujah. I thank you today that there's still a fire of direction. God can still direct your life. I said, God can still direct your life. Anybody ever got any direction in a service like this tonight? You had some questions about something. You didn't know what to do. You didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, God gave you direction. He gave you an answer. Amen. A solution was presented. And instead of confusion, you left with assurance. And you left with peace. There's still a fire of direction. Amen. There was a fire in the tabernacle. And there was a fire in the temple. And the Lord said, he said, now that right there, that's holy fire. He said, don't you try to manufacture that. And don't you replace that. Amen. You know what happened? There was a couple of priests. Amen. Aaron's sons decided, well, we know how to make fire. The Bible says they made a fire, a strange fire, and they put it on the altar. And the Bible says God struck them both dead. There are some things you don't play with. Amen. You don't play with anointing. Amen. You don't play with the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's just one unpardonable sin. The Bible said, and that is blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You know why that is? When you turn against the Holy Ghost and you don't believe the Holy Ghost and you try to manufacture Holy Ghost, that's the saving agent. And if you don't believe the Spirit of God, that's what's going to save you. How are you going to be saved if you don't believe it? How are you going to be saved if you've monkeyed around so long you can't even recognize it? I'm going to tell you, there's still some strange fire around. I said, there's still some strange fire around, but God can show up in the middle of strange fire, and he can send the real fire. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a genuine fire. It's the real thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. The prophet Elijah, remember that? Amen. My, what a man. What a guy. I love it. 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah walks into the temple or into the palace, walks up to King Ahab. He said, "Hey, King, it's not going to rain till I say so." Then leaves. The king said, "Who's that nut?" You know what? In about 6 months it didn't rain. He started saying, "Where's that nut?" And in a year it hadn't rained. He said, "Where is that nut?" And then he turned to his army after a year and a half, 2 years, and it hadn't rained. He said, "Go find that nut. Amen. Bring him to me." 3 years it had not rained, not a drop. He's desperate. He's turned the country upside down trying to find Elijah. Can't find him anywhere. And after 3.5 years, here comes Elijah. Amen. He walks up to Ahab again. And you know what Ahab, he said, "Are you them that's troubling Israel?" He said, "Oh, no. You're the one that's troubling Israel. You and Israel, all of your sins and sacrificing to false gods." Did you know that at that time Ahab, his little wife Jezebel, had 400 prophets of the grove and 450 prophets of Baal sitting at her table every day? Feeding false prophets in Israel while the true prophet of God was hiding out? But when the Lord said, "All right, it's time, Elijah," here he came. And he said, "Here's what I want you to do." He said, "It's time for a showdown at Mount Carmel." He said, "You gather up those 400 prophets of Grove and those 450 prophets of Baal." He said, "And you meet me on Carmel." Amen. "Bring everybody in Israel. Let's get up there and we're going to find out who God is." Amen. They get up there and Elijah says, "Here's what they're going to do." He said, "We're going to build two altars." Everybody say, "Two altars." "We're going to get two bullocks." And everybody said, "Two bullocks." Amen. He said, "Now here's what we're going to do. Each one of us are going to prepare a bullock and we're going to lay it on our specific altar." And he said, "We're all going to pray." And he said, "The God that answers by fire, let him be God." Now you can do that when you know who God is. You can do that when you know that everybody else has a false God and you're serving the true God. You can do that when you know you're dealing with 850 fakes and you're the only real deal. But you better not do that unless the Lord told you to do that. Amen. He shows up. Amen. He said, "Now there's your altar, boys. Y'all get busy." And the Bible said they got up on their altar. Must have been a big altar. Dancing around. Doing rain dances. I guess fire dances. I don't know. Amen. Nothing happening. Got to be noon. Still nothing happening. Elijah, he couldn't help it. He's just a little bit of a smart aleck. And said, "Hey, call a little louder. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's out hunting. Maybe he's asleep. You got to wake him up." Hey, man, you got to understand something. I'm telling you, he was fed up with this. These fakes deceiving Israel, taking them away from their God. He had every reason to be upset. Hey, if you can see a bunch of fake stuff going on and it don't make your blood boil, amen, you need to pray through. You see people being deceived and that doesn't bother you, amen, and you just lay back and say, "Well, you got your God and I got my God and there's all these roads to glory." No. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that cometh to the Father must come through me." Amen. "Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." There is one way. And Jesus is still the way. Amen. So that they got the fire going. Amen. They got their dance going. They got their worship going. Nothing happening. And all of a sudden, man, they got desperate. They pulled out knives and they started cutting themselves. Blood flying everywhere. Nothing happening. Now, somebody said, "Well, it doesn't matter about your worship. just as long as you're sincere. You don't get any more sincere than that. That wasn't just sincere, that was desperate. But it wasn't good enough. Amen. The Bible said it was getting time for even sacrifice. I think this is some of the saddest words in the Bible. The Bible said, and Elijah repaired, everybody say repaired, the altar of the Lord. Why did he have to repair it? Because they had been neglecting it. How's your altar? If it needs repairing, by all means repair it. But it would be better to keep it up. It would be better to keep it in shape. It would be better so that when you get to that altar, you can just walk into the presence of God. And you know, hey, my relationship's all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. I use this often. I come here every day. I'm known before the throne of God because He hears from me often. Don't let your altar fall in disrepair. He had to rebuild the altar. He got it built again, took 12 stones, 12 tribes, got the altar all fixed up. Then the Bible said he got his bullock, he got it all cut up like it was supposed to be. Amen. And then he said, let's show off. Let's just show off a little bit. Amen. Praise him. He said, here's what I want you to do. There's four big old barrels over there. Go fill them up with water and douse this real good. And they did. And he came back. He said, go do it again. They did a second time. He said, do it a third time. I mean by now, you talk about soaked, everything soaked. The sacrifice is soaked. And the stones of the altar soaked. And the Bible said there was a trench around it. Amen. And that was all full of water. He said, now it's time. He didn't want anybody doubting his authenticity. He didn't want anybody thinking this is a trick. This is some kind of a magic thing that I've cooked up. He said, by now, if I had any fire, it's been soused. It's been put out. And then the Bible said he just lifted, I think that prayer somewhere, about 61 words, if I remember right. He prayed this little short prayer. Amen. And the Bible said, fire come down from God out of heaven. Not only did it consume the sacrifice, it consumed the altar, and the tongues of fire licked up all the water. And when they got through, it was just a scorched earth. And God and the people began to say, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Hey, we need that kind. We got some folks tonight that ought to be here, but they're not. Hey, we got folks in all kinds of dire straits. This city is full of people that are backslidden just like Israel. And you know what they need? They need a fire experience. We need to get to praying around here. God, I want you to pour some fire on them. Lord, I want them to feel some Holy Ghost wherever they are, whatever they're doing, whatever condition they're in. Let the Holy Ghost, the fire, begin to move in their life. Oh, I saw one the other day. He might be saying, "You said I saw some." They didn't even look interested. It does not matter. You don't know what's in their heart. Hey, I know how this works. I had a mama that had a perpetual fire. I mean, she prayed every night. She prayed every day, and I know what it's like to try to sleep with a praying mama. There's not a pillow made. There's not an earplug made that'll keep that sound out of your ears. And let me tell you, prayer is a special sound. It don't stop at your ears. It goes straight to your heart. It'll stir up your spirit. It'll drive sleep out of your eyes. Amen. It'll make you miserable. Amen. I want people to be miserable. If that's what it takes, I do. You know what? They're already miserable. Anybody remember how much fun sin was? Bombed out of your mind. Get up puking the next day. Oh, that was fun. Really? Amen. Get addicted. Amen. Spending all your money. Amen. Just trying to satisfy the hunger of your spirit. You're miserable. You're miserable. You're miserable. You're already miserable. I'm going to pray the kind of misery that'll get you where you can have the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes all understanding and the liberty that comes in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Our God is a consuming fire. John the Baptist came preaching. He said, "He that cometh after me is preferred before me." He said, "The latchet of whose shoes I'm unworthy to unloose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen. He was talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a man that had some fire. I'm talking about a burning man. Everywhere Jesus went, amen, he didn't have to sing "This Little Light Is Mine." He said, "I am the light of the world." He was on fire. He was on fire. Everywhere he went, he was on fire. If he went to a funeral, it turned out to be a resurrection party. Amen. He went into a house where people were sick and they left healed and whole and rejoicing. He went where there was misery and he brought peace and he brought power and he brought salvation. He was a burning man. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He wasn't like, a lot of people try to, but these pictures I said, Jesus, I just don't like them. Most pictures I've seen of Jesus, he looks like some kind of a sissy. Amen. I grew up with carpenters. They don't look like that. Amen. I give you a fuller explanation of that, but I'm not going to right now. Amen. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was not a sissy. You know, the Bible, the only place it talks about what he looked like, it said, "And when we have seen him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." In other words, he wasn't some Hollywood handsome hunk. He was just a common looking man. It was not his appearance that attracted people. It was his spirit, and it was his anointing. Amen. And you hear me tonight. You can't get pretty enough to attract people to God. Amen. And there are people that they get, now you just hear me. This is a fact. That in the world, beauty is the golden coin of human worth. Now that's just a fact. If you've got a real pretty little baby, everybody, ooh. If you've got an ugly baby, nobody says nothing. Heard of one little boy, one little kid, he was so ugly. Somebody said, "Son, forgive my morbid interest, but I'd love to see your parents." That's ugly. But your beauty's not going to attract people to God. People are not going to come to God because you're so handsome. Amen. Now, you might get to preach in some pulpit somewhere that's into that kind of thing. Hello. Amen. But you know what? The Apostle Paul, he couldn't have passed most church boards today. He wouldn't have had the qualifications they were looking for. That's right. Most people wouldn't want the Apostle Paul for their pastor. Not very long. Amen. But I'll tell you what. You don't have to be handsome. If you are, that's fine. If you're pretty, that's okay. Even nothing wrong with it. Just don't think that that's what's going to get you by in life. Amen. Don't you think that that's how God's going to just use your great beauty or your great talent or your great singing or your great playing and all that's just going to, you're going to win thousands because of your ability? Oh no, that's the wrong thing you're depending on. You know what you've got to have if you're going to be a great soul winner to win people to God? You're going to have some fire. You're going to have some fire. You're going to have some fire. Whether you're pretty or whether you're ugly. Amen. Whether you're talented or whether you're not. You're going to have to depend on Holy Ghost fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. That'll win folks when nothing else will. I said that'll win folks when nothing else will. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to wind it up here. I really am. I'm getting ready to stop. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what fire does? Fire purges things. If you want to purify something, put it in the fire. Now, if fire can, it will consume it. It will. It will burn it up if it can. But if it cannot burn it up, it will purify it. Amen. And that's why God puts fire into our lives. Because there's some things in our lives that need to be consumed. There's some things in our lives that we need to get rid of. There's some things in our lives that are not fit to be a part of us. And so the fire of the Holy Ghost will burn that up. And only what's good and godly and righteous and pure and holy, that's what remains. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so fire is important. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Amen. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. You know what happened? I'm telling you, that church caught on fire that day. Amen. The ice cream truck comes down the street. And anybody's got any money, they might try to run him down, stop him. You don't have any money, you ignore the ice cream truck. If you're a parent with a bunch of kids and you're broke, you try to get them occupied doing something else. You turn up the radio. You keep them distracted because you don't want them to hear the ice cream truck. Amen. But you know what? When the fire truck comes down the street, everybody runs to the window and draws back the curtain. Wonder what's going on. There's a fire truck going down the road. Amen. You see them coming. You get out of the way because they got business. There's a fire somewhere. Amen. And people, you know, if people get out of the way and all of a sudden some folks follow the fire truck. They said, where's the fire? Amen. It gets attention when the fire truck comes by. There's something about fire that gets people's attention when ice won't get your attention. Amen. People are drawn to fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I heard the old timers talk about a prayer meeting in a house. They had this prayer meeting going on. Amen. And they got to praying. And I mean talking about real praying. It wasn't taking turns praying. It was facing the carpet kind of praying. It was nose in the rug kind of praying. It was talking in tongues intercession kind of praying. It was from the bottom of the heart and the deep of the soul praying. It was groaning and moaning kind of praying. Amen. It's the kind of praying that gets God's attention and moves heaven, and God moves on the earth. And the people said that all of a sudden people came knocking on the door, and they said, "Hey," they said, "what's going on in there?" They said, "What do you mean?" They said, "There's flames shooting out the roof of this place. You better get out of there. It's fixing to come down." They said, "Oh no, there's not any fire in here like that. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Hey, that's the kind of fire we need to pray for. Amen. People going down Highway 31. All of a sudden, now look at the United Pentecostal Church, and they say, "Hey, I see flames. I see fire in that place." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I wish somebody saw what. Oh, I wish somebody sold wood. Oh, I wish somebody sold wood. Oh, burning with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. We need some fire tonight. Amen. I feel some fire in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You probably haven't noticed this, but we don't have a lot of money here. If we do, we sure hide it good, don't we? Well, there's a secretary right there. "Sister Lynn, we got a bunch of money." I don't either. Amen. So we can't compete on the money front. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you. We got some good musicians. Amen. We got some good singers. Yes, we do. Amen. I think they can sing as good as anybody in Athens or anywhere else. And we're blessed with that. Amen. We got some great dedicated Sunday school teachers. Amen. We got a great youth leader. Amen. And his wife do a great job with the youth. We got a great Sunday school superintendent and his wife doing a great job with Sunday school. Amen. We got great ladies in ministry. We got a lot of good things going on around here. Amen. Other churches have got programs too. Believe it or not, there's churches in Athens got nicer buildings than ours. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for what we have. I've been places they'd think this was almost heaven. We're not here to run anything down. I'm extremely thankful. I know what went into this building. I know the hands that built this. And you do too. I know the people that scrimped and sacrificed and gave to pay for this place. I know what that's all about. I understand that tonight. We're not belittling anybody's sacrifice. I'm just saying that when it comes to that kind of thing, we can't compete. Amen. You know what you do? You go to your strengths. And you know what Pentecostals do like nobody else can do? Hallelujah. Pentecostals, you know, we excel in prayer. We excel in worship. We excel in sacrifice for God. Amen. We excel in soul winning. Amen. That's what we know how to do. We know how to love people. Amen. We know how to pray for people. Hey, we know how to care for people. Amen. When somebody comes through the door, we're not interested in their pedigree. We're not interested in their heritage. We're not interested in how many generations somebody might have been around, or what kind of board they're on, or what kind of office they may hold. All I want to know is, do you know Jesus like I know Jesus? Amen. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How then were you baptized? That's where we excel. Brother Neil, that's what we do. Woo! Hallelujah. And you know what? If we can get what we're feeling right now outside these walls, amen, every bus we can put on the street, we'll have people running out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pray, anybody believe what I'm preaching here tonight? Anybody believe the fire of the Holy Ghost can do what nothing else can do? I've always, I don't know, just ever now and then, I think about that burning man. I always think about him. It was something that impacted my life. I'll never forget it. Sadly, tragically, he didn't know what I know. He didn't have what I have. You know what he did have? He did have dedication. And that's something that, tell you the truth, it kind of motivates me. Sometimes it kind of shames me that somebody with less truth had more dedication. Somebody with less truth had more dedication. That ought not to be. I said that ought not to be. If there's going to be a burning man, if there's going to be a burning woman, it ought to be apostolics. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we leave this place tonight, we ought to be on fire. We ought to burn all the way to wherever you're going. Amen. When you get up in the morning, you ought to burn on the job. Hallelujah. I said you ought to be burning on the job. Amen. You ought to be so hot they can smell Holy Ghost. Amen. You ought to be so hot they can feel the fire. They can feel the warmth. Amen. They can feel that you care. They can feel your prayers. They can feel your dedication. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, we need you tonight. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Yes, we do. That's all we've got. We're not interested, really, God, in anything else. I'm not praying for a financial miracle. You're going to take care of that. I know you will. You always have. Praise the Lord. We're not praying, oh God, for some kind of a Taj Mahal edifice. Oh, but God, what we are praying for is a Holy Ghost experience. Oh, God, what we are praying for is that everybody in Athens, Texas, and everybody in Henderson County, amen, can feel what we're feeling, know what we're knowing. Hallelujah. Oh God, that we can get so on fire around here. Amen. It's going to catch on in the schools. Amen. It's going to catch on in neighborhoods. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Neil and I were talking the other day. Amen. You know, everywhere you take Jesus' job, I don't know what we have in Athens, but I know that that in some cities, you know, the apartment complexes have a common room where people meet together. And there are churches that have people living in those complexes. Amen. And they'll get together in that common, of course they get permission, and they get in that common room and they teach Bible studies. Brother Bacon, we can't do 113,000, but it'd be easy for us to do 113. You know what? 113 starts with what? One. I wish somebody tonight would just say, Brother Grissom, I may not do 113, but I'm willing to start with one. I'm willing to start with one. Amen. We may not get 75 out of it, but if I can get one, I'll be happy. And if I get five, I'll be ecstatic. Amen. Let me tell you, Bible studies, they're contagious. You teach one, God saves somebody. You can't wait to teach another one. You just got to get over the fear. Amen. I just don't know if I know much. You'll be surprised what you know. Praise the Lord. You'll be surprised what you know. Some of you have been sitting under good preaching. Amen. For many years. You know what the Bible said about that? Jesus said, don't you worry when you stand before men. He said, I will give you what to say. Amen. You know what happens? When you get and you open yourself up and you allow yourself to go to teach a Bible study, the anointing of the Holy Ghost starts moving on you, and all those things you've been hearing all these years, it starts coming out. And you start saying, wow, I didn't know I knew that. Amen. You opened yourself to it. God put it in there. And then when it was time, the Holy Ghost brought it out. Amen. Do you think I write all this stuff down when I'm studying? If I did, that'd be a lot of writing, wouldn't it? I've had people, every now and then somebody's real nice, and they say, Brother Grissom, I'd like to have your notes. I show it to them, and they say, huh? Fact of the matter is, sometimes I don't even have any. Amen. You know what it is? The Holy Ghost. He said, you know, there's a need over here, and there's a need over there, and there's a need somewhere. And the Holy Ghost just said, say that. Punches that button. Out it comes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody want to be a burning man? Anybody want to be a burning lady? Amen. Burning with the Holy Ghost. I think it'd be good if we'd come to an altar right now and say, God, set me afire. Oh, as I get older, God, don't let me get colder. Keep me hot. You said to the Laodicean church, I work that thou weren't cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. God, I don't ever want to get lukewarm. I don't want the church to ever get lukewarm. We were born in the fire. Hallelujah, we were born in the fire. We got to have that. Amen. That's what we have. And it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Oh, what the world needs now is more Holy Ghost revival. What the world needs now is Holy Ghost fire. What sinners need now is Holy Ghost fire. The kind of fire that'll burn the bonds that shackle them and set them free. Amen. The kind of fire that'll take away drug addiction. The kind of fire that'll take away alcohol addiction. The kind of fire that'll take away every addiction. Amen. And set people free. Hallelujah. Burn all the dross of sin. All the misery of sin. Oh, the Holy Ghost can purify. The Holy Ghost can clean.
Oh, Jesus' name is my desire.
Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost.
Make me a flame.
Oh.